Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Lugeman. Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher. And some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who?
Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Jeff Lagerman alongside what is just a two-man show for now and soon to be three, maybe four. We had a technical issue at Latitude 30, and I am joined here at WOKV Studios by the famous Tony Boselli.
Oh, very famous. And it's nice to be here, a beautiful studio, but I am a little disappointed there's no food.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is that me and Brian were able to be at Latitude 30 a little early.
So you ate.
So we ate, not as much as we would have liked to, but
that's
we got a chance to eat a little bit.
We might have to order some, like, pizzas or something. I mean, I come hungry every week to Latitude 30.
We got other people in agreement about the
pizza.
Yeah,
some
pizzas
or some, maybe Latitude 30 could bring some food. I mean, Joe, you got to get to work back there. I mean, you got to do something.
Going to be a busy show. I mean, this is a week that I think everybody in Jacksonville, you know, wrote down on the calendar that this was a much anticipated game for a couple reasons. One, you thought that this would be a possible swing game in the AFC for a potential playoff spot.
Yep.
And number two, and probably most importantly, this was the return of Tim Tebow at Everbank Field.
Well, the first one's out.
Yes. For the Jaguars.
Yeah, for the Jaguars, it's out. Jets have an outside chance with the victory they had last week of trying to maybe get into the playoffs. And I don't think the Tim Tebow factor is going to be a story either. I mean, he's right now the third quarterback on the roster. He might play a little bit in this kind of the role in the scheme that he has so far as the Jets, which is an H-back, some special teams and stuff like that. But and Mark Sanchez is going to be the quarterback, and my guess is Greg McElroy is the backup.
And we'll delve into the role that Tim Tebow has had as we get further along in the show. But, you know, the news item for the day is that Rex Ryan said that Mark Sanchez is going to be his quarterback.
Yep.
He did not confirm whether Tim Tebow would be active. He has a rib injury. Chances are that I would think that he will be, but that Greg McElroy would also be available. So I don't know how it's going to play out. If I had to guess, from the Jets' perspective, Sanchez will play. It will be a relatively short leash, and that Greg McElroy will be the backup, but they'll have Tim Tebow active as well, and that he will play a role in the Wildcat.
For different types of crimes.
As he has all year long, as a personal punt protector.
Well, and I agree. Listen, the Jets are coming into this game, and they're looking at it from the standpoint. I don't think Rex Ryan's concerned about Tim Tebow and him coming home. I don't think he probably cares one bit about that. He's looking at a club that's 5-7.
And is
trying to figure out how to best win. And he has said in the past, and he continues to say, he's going to play the quarterback that gives him the best chance of winning, and that's the one who turns over the ball the least. That's why he pulled Mark last week.
Yeah, but
Tony,
Rex Ryan loves to be able to play certain games within the game. That's just Rex.
No, I agree with that, but
so Rex is going to have something in mind for Tim Tebow when he comes to Jacksonville.
If he thinks it can help them win.
Yes. And clearly he thinks that Tim can help them win in some aspect because he's taken numerous snaps, and certainly one of the games that he took the most snaps in was against the Miami Dolphins, to where, you know, nothing's more important than a division game. So if he had him taking reps there, why wouldn't he have him taking reps in a critical game that's an AFC East, or not an AFC East, but an AFC game?
Well, and I don't disagree with you, Jeff. My whole point is I think the role that Tim Tebow has played for the Jets is probably much less than he was sold when he went there, and much less than anyone thought coming into the season he would play.
Well, here's the role. I ran the numbers this week.
Okay.
And it's actually going to be a little piece on Film Room Friday at Jaguars.com. Thank you, Linda. Here it is. Tim Tebow this year has taken 63 snaps on offense, 45 snaps as a quarterback, 10 snaps at wide receiver, and then 8 snaps as a fullback.
So, but 63 snaps, that's only five, averaging just over 5 snaps a game. That's not very much.
Not very much.
And that's my point. He has not played a significant role in this Jets offense.
Well, and I think that the reason it hasn't been significant is that the package has not had a significant impact.
It hasn't been explosive. It hasn't worked.
Here's the numbers. As a passer on offense now, not counting the pass that he had
for special
as
teams.
A personal protector on a fake punt. On offense, he's 4-5 for 15 yards. He was sacked one time. That's a 3.0 yards per attempt. As a quarterback of the offense, when the New York Jets have run the ball, whether he ran the ball or he handed the ball off elsewhere, the Jets are 38 carries for 112 yards. That's 2.95 yards per carry. So if you summarize the number of snaps that he's taken at quarterback, 45 snaps, 129 yards gained for the offense. That's 2.87 yards per play. Not a great number.
And that's why the package hasn't been expanded, is my guess. I mean, now...
Now, if he came out and he was ripping off 6.4, 6.5 yards, you know, per play, the package would be bigger.
If the New York Jets, just like any team, felt like that Tim Tebow gave them the best chance of moving the ball and scoring points, he'd be playing a bigger role.
Coaches aren't dumb.
No, I mean, listen, coaches get fired if they don't win. And so this is not about, you know, as fans, it's emotional. It's about our favorite player and the love affair for Tim, which I get. I mean, he was a high school star here. He was a star at Florida. He is a great individual, and people love him. And so I get the fans' passion and excitement and fever that thinks he should be the guy. But as a coach, I don't think that plays at all into it. And Rex Ryan and his staff is saying, what gives us the best chance? They've seen it since the on the field days to the training camp to the preseason. 12 games in the regular season, averaging just over 5 plays a game, they don't feel like, for whatever reason, and we're not there, we don't get to see it all, but for whatever reason, they still feel like, and they're laying their jobs on the line for it, because they have an owner that is basically would like to see Tim Tebow
reportedly
play more. They are laying their jobs on the line saying, Mark Sanchez gives us the best chance of beating the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Can I weigh in here?
Hey, guys. Oh, right. Welcome.
There he is.
Thanks for showing up on time.
Well, I went up Southside Bowl. At least I had the presence of mind to call you.
You should have gone up
there.
You know what I did? I went up 95 much quicker.
Yeah, I was going to take a left-hand turn and make a U-turn there at Phillips Highway and Southside, and there was one of Jacksonville's finest there that dissuaded me.
Yeah.
So I ended up coming all the way up Southside, and you guys know what that is like, especially going past the avenues at Christmas. Anyway, did you, either of you, read Gil Brandt, the longtime NFL scout?
Cowboys forever.
Cowboys scout. One of the best personnel men to ever put together a draft board. He wrote a column on NFL.com about Tebow. And he likened him to Todd Christensen. He said, look, the Cowboys, people forget this, were the team that drafted Christensen, and they tried to convert the running back to tight end. And Brandt said, look, you're not a running back in this game, but you would be a very good tight end. And he fought him and fought him and fought him, and finally they cut him, and he ended up in Oakland, where Al Davis had a magic way with players who had been discarded, and he put his arm around him, according to the story, said, you should be a tight end. He became a tight end and went to 5 Pro Bowls. And, you know, was one of the...
He was a great player.
Yeah, he was one of the dominant players at his position in his era. So I guess my question to you is, did you read the article? If you didn't, what do you think about Brandt saying, look, I love the guy, I love all the intangibles, and clearly the guy's a winner, but he's not a quarterback.
Listen,
it's not a new theory, but it's coming from Gil Brandt, which gives it more credibility.
Very well respected.
Very well.
I mean, listen, I think Tim Tebow is a good football player. Now, Tim has to decide if he wants to play quarterback or if he wants to play football, whatever capacity. I think if he did not play, if he said, listen, I don't care, I just want to play, I think he'd be an outstanding H-back.
You know, just off the cuff.
Because he's athletic, he can run, he's just strong,
let me add these numbers here because
he's a good player.
There's a lot of people that, after me reading those numbers off, would say, well, if he were in the role – of being the quarterback, his numbers would be better. If you go back and you look at his performance with the Denver Broncos last year, when he's the quarterback, last year the Denver Broncos averaged 4.97 yards per play. And if you look at the rankings this year, right at the top in average yards per play is the Washington Redskins, and they're over six. They're number one. And at the bottom of the barrel is the Arizona Cardinals, and they're right around 4.3, you know, in that range. So what he did last year is around what would be closer to the bottom of the league
third.
This year. Yes.
Well, you know, I like you, get out and about and have had people just assault me with the Tebow story over and over and over, and my response is simple. He was the story in the NFL last year. I mean, soccer moms were saying, hey, what time does Tebow play again? Because I want to watch. People who would not normally turn on a Denver Broncos or a non-home team game. And Tebow mania shirts, the whole nine yards. And at the end of the year, he won a playoff game. At the end of the year, they jettisoned him as quickly as they could. John Elway, one of the great quarterbacks, jettisoned him as quickly as he could for a 36-year-old quarterback with four neck surgeries that was going to cost him $100 million.
But his name is Peyton Manning.
Well, but he's 36 with four neck surgeries and $100 million. So, I mean, you know, most other teams would take a good hard look at that before they do that.
Yeah, but in fairness to that argument, there was about seven or eight other teams that would take him, including one being the San Francisco 49ers, who just played in the NFC title game.
Don't disagree.
I think
Tebow mania was a huge, and they threw it overboard, which is where the stark contrast is.
Well, the bigger thing to me is, in that case, is not so much that the Broncos went for Peyton Manning, because I think a lot of people wanted Peyton Manning, is the fact that there were reportedly only two teams offered to trade a draft pick for Tim Tebow,
right.
One being the Jaguars.
And the other the Jets. But the other side of the coin is that the Niners didn't have their quarterback. They didn't have a guy who drove sales and drove interest like Tebow
did. Well,
they
had a guy who was good on the field, though.
Yeah, but
not off the field.
But they were willing to look for a completely different reason. Anyway, that's my argument with a lot of people. And I think that if you made him a positional player, and if he came here, he would have to come in and say, I need to hold a press conference. And at the press conference, it would be real simple. Guys, all of my friends and fans out there, I'm going to be a tight end. So let's not create the circus that we had with the Jets, because then I'll end up going and playing somewhere else.
Speaking of press conferences, the Jacksonville media requested Tim Tebow for the media call on Wednesday, and they were turned down.
Yeah.
And I don't blame
Now, I don't know if that was Jets media communications department.
Or the Tim didn't want to talk.
Or if Tim didn't want to talk.
Fairness to Tim and the Jets, I mean, I would be like, no, our third-string quarterback is not going to do the media call.
Yeah, but he's a hometown guy.
I don't care. He's the third-string quarterback right now. He's injured.
He was the backup quarterback, and they held the largest Jets press conference in franchise. Look, bigger than when they drafted.
They held
it on their practice facility in their great big covered facility.
Did.
And it was the biggest in the history of the Jets. Bigger than Joe Willie Namath. Bigger than Jeff Lagerman.
Bigger than me.
Really, really big. So they have done it before. I mean, this is not unprecedented that they would have let Tebow talk as a backup quarterback.
Yes, Joe.
He busted up his ribs in week 10, right?
I think
it was 10.
Not last week. Two games ago.
So he could be...
Three games ago.
He can't be ready, can he?
Don't know.
None of us know.
To him, he said that he could have sucked it up and played last week.
Well, he's a tough kid. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
All right. Joe, let's take a break.
Very good. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna live at the Palatial WOKV Studio.
It's great to be here.
And also brought to you by Latitude 30. Rolls on Jaguars Radio. Gate. Nobody helps get ready better for game day. Snacks, food, drinks, a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today.
Are you a radio professional?
Nah.
Do you not? Can you not turn your own mic on over there? You realize you're off.
Yeah,
guys in this control studio had to wipe it for you there and make sure you're good.
I am.
You get into a comfortable setting like this in a real radio studio, and all of a sudden you're just like, turn my mic on, turn it off.
Oh, the memories.
Nice to have you, Joe. Thanks so much. All right, the Metro's PCS call in line this evening, 355-NFL1, 800-355-NFL1. We are in WOKV studios instead of Latitude 30 because of a phone line issue. And so Linda is back at Jaguar Central at the stadium, so you call her and she'll patch you through to us if that makes sense. If it doesn't, we're sorry. We're doing it that way anyway. Hey, guys, I just saw a tweet from Bart Scott. Hold on, let me call it up. And basically what he is saying here, he was asked about Maurice Jones-Drew being highly doubtful, and he said, I'm highly grateful for that.
That's a good line.
Yeah, that is a good line, and that goes to show you just what this team is missing without Maurice Jones-Drew on the field. And what they're missing is the opportunity to stave off some of the craziness that Rex Ryan is likely to pull with his defense.
Well, and it is a very complex defense, and it's going to be a challenge for the Jaguars offense that really is struggling, and struggling also because of the performance of the running game or lack thereof. In Buffalo, I mean, those conditions were just screaming, running back type of game or running type of game, however you want to look at it. And the Bills were able to get it, and the Jaguars weren't. And it put a lot of pressure on the Jaguars' passing attack, and they weren't able to get it done. You know, this team is not good enough to be able to be a one-dimensional offense. They're just not. I mean, Cecil Shorts is developing in one day. They might have that capability, but right now they do not. And Rex's defenses are probably more challenging than any others. And I'm not saying that they're better than any other, because Pittsburgh and Baltimore historically have two of the best defenses year after year after year. And I think if you go back, what, 10, 15 years, they've been the best. And Rex's defenses are complex because, from talking to one of the guys that used to coach here in Jacksonville, and I won't say his name because it doesn't really matter, he said that Rex is unique in the fact that he's willing to leave certain areas vacant in order to fortify a pressure package or coverage in another area. And with Darrell Revis, it was a lot easier to do, but they still do it. And they will leave certain weaknesses where, if you have a veteran quarterback, he can hurt you. But if you have a young quarterback, see the Arizona Cardinals game last week, it'll make you look silly. Cardinals didn't convert one third down in last week's game.
0-15. First time since 1970 the team has had at least 15 third down attempts and converted none of them. So are they?
That's amazing. They had 147 yards of offense in that game. 147.
The Jets did?
No.
The Cardinals.
Yeah. 147 yards, and they still had two field goals. I mean, that's amazing with a rookie at quarterback.
How much do they miss Revis? I mean, they're 5-7, so obviously
they miss him a lot.
Well, they miss him a ton because he's the best corner in the National Football League, and that's not even a debate. But they also have other talented players in the back end. I mean, Antonio Cromartie, very good player. The first-round pick corner from Boise State,
Kyle Wilson.
Laron Landry, who has been an absolute stellar pickup for the New York Jets.
Having his best year.
Really good player who they got as a free agent, came from the Redskins, had some injuries at the Redskins. They signed him. Jeremiah Bell, who came from the Miami Dolphins, very good player, veteran player. You know, so, I mean, they have other players that can play. You know, so losing a Darrell Revis wasn't a killer for the New York Jets.
Well, it does change. You know, they can't be as exotic in their coverages. They did, with him, they still do some of it, but they did a lot of combo coverages like you talked about, Jeff, where they play man on the backside with Revis and then combo coverage the other side and really make it difficult for defenses or for offenses. Now, the one thing that they're not very fast up front. Their front seven is not a fast group. They're big, they're physical.
Aging.
And because they are aging. So where you see them struggle against certain teams is where you can get matchups with receivers on underneath coverage against their linebackers because their linebackers struggle to run.
Since we're in their studios this evening, we're actually going to have to let them do the news at the right time. You know,
we just go over.
Yeah, we like Gene. Who cares? Gene will be all fine. What's Gene going to do? Baselli will go sit on him.
I could still sit on him.
Yeah, I know, and you could actually do that tonight. But I'm going to get up and let Gene jump in here and do the news, but I guess I got to let Joe say something before I can let Gene say something.
Thanks, Brian Sexton. Thank you, Tony Baselli.
Laggy.
You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealers today. Proud sponsors of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars This Week rolls on here on Jaguars Radio. Hey, and not only do I get to listen for Gene's cue, I get to look at him, too. How cool is that? $20 coin toss tickets. That's also cool for the Jets game.
Are we on?
2000.
We are.
Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Jaguars this week live at WOKV.
It's kind of... We have levels here. You know, we can control our own headphone level, and I just realized I'm deaf. Because I've turned it up three times with Gene. A young man like Gene Wexler had it at like two.
He'll be there, though.
Give him a couple years, and he'll be turning it up.
You wear these stupid things long enough, you will. Okay, Metro PCS call-in line, same as it always is, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Bacelli, you checking your Twitter tonight?
I am. I got nothing yet.
At Tony Bacelli?
Okay. Nothing yet.
Do we know? Has anybody put out the call to Osher? Osher, I'm sure you have
your radio lost.
Does anybody want to tell him? Who should he call? Should he call you, Joe?
He can either call me
go home.
If he went to Latitude 30, just follow Craig over here. Craig's coming back here.
Well, but if he's coming back, Bacelli wants him to bring a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
He's hungry.
See what the guys want.
Anything.
What do you want on?
You know, they don't have a waitress here, but Ben will probably go get you something from the vending machine if you give him the money.
I'm good. I can wait. I have enough self-control to wait until after 8 o'clock.
Did you see the extra large Snickers bars out there?
I'm off Snickers.
He's going to turn into Betty Davis.
All right. Tim from the West Side wants to know how much Tim Tebow makes per play.
I got Betty right.
You want to figure this one out? Tim, what's going on tonight?
Hey, thank y'all guys for taking my call. I just got a short question and a comment, and I'll listen off the air. I was listening to y'all say that Tebow's only played 45 plays this year. I'm FSU grad, but I'm a Tebow fan. My question is, they spent all this money to get Tebow, and I know it's not all about the money with Tebow. I feel that. I don't think he's that type of player. But my question is, the owner's going to spend these millions or whatever he makes in a year, play him 45 plays. How much does that come out to each play for what they paid him this year? And also, with them spending the money that they spent to get him, if they're not going to play him, it seems to me that they're holding the man back from seeing what he possibly could do and not giving him the opportunity to play, and I don't think that's fair to him, and I'll
Loggy,
listen on the air.
Before you guys answer, let me just, and Tim, understand, they didn't spend a whole lot of money to get him. They sent a draft choice and a couple of bucks back to him, you know, to offset salary cap issues. But it wasn't like they put a huge free agent guaranteed deal in front of him to get him. So it isn't. That's not the major issue here. Well, okay, you guys go.
And let me say this. Fair and professional sports don't really go together.
Fair in life doesn't go
all
that
so
well.
Whether it's fair or not, the argument would be, well, he had all of offseason and all of training camp in preseason to prove that that he deserved to be the guy or more reps or whatever. Now, whether it was fair or not, I don't know. None of us know. We're not there. But, Logs, you've been around a long time, too. Fair doesn't really usually enter the equation. It's what the head coach thinks is the best formula for them to win, no matter what team you're on, and no matter whether it's Tim Tebow or Blaine Gabbert or any other player.
All right, well, to answer his question about what he got paid per play, he participated in 63 offensive snaps. The number that I used, 45, was the number of snaps that he took at quarterback. It's reported that Tim's paragraph 5 salary this year is $2.1 million. So if you do the math, so far this year, if you say, okay, 12 games played, divide that by 16, and then multiply that by $2.1 million, and then divide that by 63, he's made $25,000 a play.
How much?
$25,000.
Pretty good.
It's good work if you can get it.
So far, $25,000 a play.
Folks, and he has a degree from Virginia in economics, so do not doubt him. That's pretty good money.
He struggled adding 5 + 3 2 weeks ago, and he said it was 9.
I did.
Well, he played professional football.
I took a percentage of his salary.
Yeah, it's about right.
What he's made so far.
25 grand area.
Yeah, $25,000 a play.
Now, here's the issue, is how long will they let that circus-like mentality go on up there? I mean, look, Sanchez, from the very beginning, people said, if you bring him in, the minute that Sanchez struggles, you're going to have problems. And they really have had a three-ring circus up there with the quarterback issue.
Well, the issue is Mark hasn't played very well either.
I mean, well, no, he hasn't helped it. I mean, that's talk about fair, he could have played better.
Right, absolutely. And he, I think it was 3 picks last week before he got benched.
I don't remember the exact number that he
had.
Yeah,
he had three.
Three interceptions.
Yeah.
By the way, to further break it down, the New York Jets have paid $193 a yard, $193.80 a yard with Tim Tebow running the offense.
So a lot per yard.
Well, let's, how much is Sanchez?
Who knows? That's not, we're going the wrong way here.
Which way do you want to go? This is a big deal, though, for the New York Jets when you bring up Mark Sanchez's salary. I mean, they gave him a contract extension, the general manager did, Mike Tannenbaum, which was a huge mistake. Extended his contract this past offseason and gave him a 3-year extension and basically a guaranteed $20 million to a quarterback who had never reached elite level and guaranteed him $20 million. That was a mistake.
It's guaranteed 8.45 next year.
Mike Tannenbaum has made numerous mistakes contractually for the New York Jets.
And there's a reason probably he won't be there next year.
And that's probably going to cost him his job. The Darrell Revis deal that he did when he was drafted busted every slot that's ever been in the draft,
2007.
In the draft history. He also did it the following year. You know,
with Vernon Golston.
And so around the league, Mike Tannenbaum is not appreciated because he ends up doing a deal that's out of character for the slot in which a person's drafted, and then everybody else has to try to end up recovering from their misstep. You know, so if I'm Woody Johnson, I would have had a hard time keeping Mike Tannenbaum on board, period, just because of the contracts that he's done.
All right, well, you know, we can move on past the Tebow stuff as we get ready for the break here. But it's worth noting that the word on the street in New York is that Tim probably won't play for the Jets next year.
Maybe not. But they got his rights. If they want him.
Exactly.
They got him.
Chris Mortensen tweeted earlier today, almost certain to be released at the end of this year.
What's happening with that situation in New York is the exact reason why I was not a fan of the Jets acquiring him in the offseason. Because it would be a distraction to what you're trying to do, and it's not Tim's fault. I don't blame Tim. Has nothing to do with Tim. It's just the celebrity and the following that he has is so big and so fervent. I guess, is that the proper word?
Fervent is, yes.
And fervent, that, good word.
Viral.
That it would be hard to overcome that, and you can tell that in the Jets locker room, and then also in the Denver Broncos locker room last year, it created a lot of opinions. And very boisterous opinions. And this year, the Jets have had issues to where they've had unnamed players saying this, unnamed players saying that. And you don't like to have those type of things, but that's what happens when you have a player like him.
All right, folks. So we are due for our next break. Let's take it now. The Metro PCS call-in line is simple. 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Make sure you say hello to Linda when you call. And tell her that her husband is late getting into the studio to read the right card. Joe.
Do you want pizza?
Yes.
Well, be nice now.
Put up the Sally's face.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Now we got a radio show.
Good radio
coming.
Hey,
speaking of food, try Sonny's Chicken and Ribs. Only $10.99. You got a heap and helping of our barbecue chicken and sweet and smoky ribs. Plus two of your favorite sidekicks and garlic bread or cornbread for only $10.99. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna, live at WOKV Studios and brought to you by Latitude 30, continues on Jaguars Radio. Well, you could be driving a brand-new Kia Optima by registering to win Conn's Kia. Stop by Southside Kia or Kia of Orange Park for your chance to win.
All right, Joe. Thank you very much. See you in like 8.5 minutes.
With pizza.
Are you going to pick the pizza up?
No, it's coming to us.
Okay.
Who's paying for it?
You are.
Okay. I have no cash, so.
Isn't that convenient? All right, the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. And we were talking about Tebow, and that thing can go on and on and on.
Right.
Let's talk about Cecil Shorts. And the concussion issue just continues to grow in this league. The events of last Saturday will ensure that it will get bigger and bigger and bigger. My question to you is, he passed his test. He didn't practice for symptoms. Even if he passes the test and he practices, do you hesitate to play him based on LaRon Robinson and on Clint Session?
No, I don't.
Because you don't know. I mean, he gets him bang, bang, rapid fire, all of a sudden you got an issue going into next year.
Well, if there is no symptoms, he's passed the baseline test, I don't hesitate.
Okay.
But if there are symptoms, then,
yeah, then you don't play him.
Yeah, he doesn't play.
But if there's no symptoms and he passes the test, then you play. Listen, this is our job. Not ours anymore, but it was. It's your job. You're a football player.
But the brain's an unknown. And the reason I bring it up is because LaRon Robinson.
Then don't play, because it's an unknown whether your brain's going to get scrambled
or not.
I'm
not talking from Cecil. I'm sure he wants to play. Yeah. I'm sure he wants to play.
No,
my question is if you are the Jaguars and you're looking at a young player that you have high hopes for, are you more cautious because of this?
No, if he is cleared and he has no symptoms,
it sounds like he was cleared. He just still has symptoms.
Well, then I wouldn't play him if he had symptoms.
Mike Mularkey, the head coach today, said that Cecil Shorts passed his baseline test but still shows symptoms. He said that Rashad Jennings and George Selvey did not pass the test. So that's where they're at there.
Well, I just know that the Clint Session with three concussions last year and LaRon with four in essentially 3 months. I mean, it's not like you can look at an MRI and say, you know.
I guess this is where I don't understand. Is
it's the end of a season, year 2-10.
Okay, that's fine. But he's a young player that the more reps you get, the better he's going to be next year.
Sure. But
and if he has no symptoms and he is cleared, why would you not play him?
Because LaRon Robinson had four concussions in 3 months.
They're different people.
But you don't know who Cecil is. You don't know if he's all of a sudden thrown to
him. You could have him sit out.
Here's what they know.
You could have him sit out this week, and he could get another one
next
week.
Here's what they know. They know that if you get one concussion, the likelihood is you will get another one.
Okay.
Easier.
That likelihood does not go down.
I'm saying it's worthy of conversation.
Cautious.
That's what I'm asking
you. But if his I would err symptoms on the side of caution. If I'm the general manager or the head coach, and I've got a player of that caliber, and I'm sitting there at 2-10.
That's it. If you're the Indianapolis Colts, fine for a playoff spot, totally different.
Then I'm very cautious.
Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's not totally different. But I just think, as you look at this guy.
Are you going to start taking guys out that you're worried about getting dinged that are good players because you're 2-10 and you want them for next year?
No, listen. The only reason I'm bringing it up is because we had two players here.
Every player's
in
different.
The last. Right, but you don't know because it's not
you don't know about anything. You don't know about his knees,
but
his ankles.
What you're saying right there might be the reason to be a little more cautious.
Right.
Because you don't know.
You can't look at an MRI. You can't tell.
Clint Session, who was released this week, $11.5 million.
He had two in one game.
Okay, yeah, but
and that now look, he didn't tell anybody.
And LaRon Robinson, I mean, a guy that you got in free agency, had the one, and then it didn't look like the other ones that were the subsequent concussions or head issues didn't look as bad.
Whether you like the topic or not,
let me just say this: it's a slippery slope you go down if you're going to start deciding outside of what the doctors say whether you're going to play a guy or not. If he has been cleared and he has no symptoms, you play. That's your job.
And what I'm saying is that this league is going down that slippery slope.
Well, I don't like it.
Whether they do it or not, because the concussion issue is just so big. It's huge.
I understand it's huge, which I don't fully. I got to be careful here because I don't.
Why?
How many concussions did you have, Jeff?
Probably two or three.
Okay,
the pros?
Right. Did you have symptoms the rest of the week?
Yes.
Going into the game?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, I had one, and I felt groggy for 2 or 3 days, and then by the time, got back on the practice field by Thursday or Friday, was fine.
Yeah, and I wasn't. And played that week.
Okay.
And nowadays, ain't no way that happened. Wouldn't happen.
So let me ask you, because I never had, I had a concussion, symptoms went away, there was no baseline test. Knowing what you know now, would you have played still?
No.
Okay.
Not that week. Not that last one that I had, to where I had light sensitivity, memory issues on Tuesday, Wednesday. No, I would not.
But by Sunday, were you still having those same issues?
I wasn't clear. I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, then you shouldn't play then. If you're having symptoms, you should not play. I just think it's a slippery slope if a guy is clear baseline, passes the baseline test, and has no symptoms. Then why? because then you're going to start, you're in this gray area of saying, well, you know, he has no symptoms, but, you know, he had a concussion, so let's not play him. You know, we'll wait.
But I'm saying we're there already.
Do you wait another week? Do you wait 2 weeks? Do you wait 3 weeks? I mean, there's no medical studies that say out there that, you know, if you wait 2 weeks or 8 weeks.
Well, yeah, look at Clint Session.
If you're symptom-free, you're symptom-free, you know, and those symptoms can come back, and you still can have another concussion.
All I'm suggesting is this team has two free agents that they paid big money to who got into a, I don't even know the right term to use, but they got into a routine with concussions that happened, multiple concussions in a finite period of time.
Right, but be clear, Cecil's had one.
Well, agreed, but LaRon Robinson had never had one before he had his first.
We also lost a big-time free agent to a knee injury.
But no, wait. LaRon Robinson had never had one before this summer when he hit his head on the concrete strip.
I got that.
On the practice field. And then all of a sudden, bang, 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 he has
so
three more.
So are you saying they should have held him out?
I don't know that I'm saying anything because I don't know that any of us know the right answer because, as you just alluded to, there are no studies that give you all of it. All I'm asking you is do you even take extra time? Are you more thoughtful before you put him back in? You're saying no, you're not. Jeff is saying yes, he is. And what we're telling the listener here is these are the kinds of conversations now that general managers and coaches and owners to some degree are going to have about
now,
players with concussions.
If he wakes up Friday and is still having symptoms, then I'd rule him out because he didn't practice all week and has head issues still, even if he feels
but
here, good.
Here's the other part of that question is that if he doesn't practice Wednesday, he doesn't practice Thursday, you're talking about a young player, you know, and all of a sudden Friday rolls around and he says, I'm fine. You know, as a coach, general manager, owner, you also have to sit there and think to yourself, is he telling me that because he wants to play? Or is this truly the case? And that's where I think with – and players have admitted it. I mean, because of contractual value, whatever, you know, they don't share all the information.
I agree. Do players go the other way, too, and say, well, I don't really want to play this week. My head still hurts a little bit.
Maybe. But I mean,
and I'm not saying Cecil. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that about Cecil or anybody, but it's such a gray area that I get that Cecil's a young guy. He had a concussion. You want to make sure that this is not a reoccurring issue. I get that.
Right.
If he passes the baseline test, that's why they're there. That's one stage. If he has no symptoms, then you play. Now, if he's telling me the first time he has no symptoms is Friday, well, then yes, obviously he's a young player. Just like if he had a knee injury that didn't get better till Friday and he hadn't practiced all week, I'd be going, you know, do I really want this young player who's just starting to feel better with his knee go out and play? I probably not. But I don't think you can treat those differently if there's no symptoms and they passed all tests.
John Osher just walked in, and we got to go to break here. I don't want to cut you off, but yes or no, with Cecil having seen what happened with LaRon Robinson, if he passes the baseline and he practices it all, are you even cautious before putting him back in, or do you just put him back in?
You're cautious, but if he passes the baseline, yeah, that's what it's there for. So if that's not enough, there needs to be something else.
All right. News is next. Gene Wexler standing over my shoulder. He wants his seat. I better get out of it.
All right, see you guys later.
Welcome to Jaguars This Week.
Presented by Aetna.
Live from Latitude 30.
Jaguars This Week.
With a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and some guy named Tony Boselli.
Who? Inconceivable!
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Let the deliberations begin.
You can't handle the truth.
Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to hour number two of Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Jeff Loggum and Tony Boselli. We are not at Latitude 30 this evening. A phone issue sent us scrambling, falling back to the WOKV studios, and we're thrilled to be here. Phone line 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. If you want to reach out to us on the Metro PCS call-in lines to reset some of the top stories of today, the Jets named Mark Sanchez the starting quarterback for Sunday's ball game here. I don't think anybody ever assumed it would be Tim Tebow, but obviously folks in Jacksonville were wondering and following that story. So Sanchez starts. Cecil Shorts is cleared of the baseline test from his concussion suffered in Buffalo, but did not practice today. And that's a big story for a Jaguars offense. What'd you do, Buscelli?
I did nothing. I didn't touch one button.
Ow, that hurt.
So Cecil Shorts did not practice. 7 touchdowns on the year. Clearly, he's the go-to guy on offense, especially without a running game. Did not practice today. And then we were finishing the first hour talking about the concussion issue. And, you know, John, you just stepped in, and I threw that one at you. But this is an issue that's going to be a predominant issue from this point going forward. It's only going to get bigger, more intrusive, change the rules.
Well, what's interesting is we're sitting here with the, you know, at the break talking with two guys who have been through it, who've played, who know all the emotions that go into any player right now. Do I tell the team everything? Do I want to play because I love playing? I feel like I should be out there and don't want to be a quote-unquote concussion guy? Or is it the other way where, boy, I'm scared to death because I've heard all these things that might happen? And I would think for a player, guys, that's an incredibly conflicting emotion.
It is. It is. And it's, the reason to play. You don't want to let your teammates down. You don't want to get labeled. If you get labeled, it could potentially cost you millions.
Maybe as much as any injury ever has.
Maybe more than any.
You can come, I mean, theoretically, an ACL, you can come back from it and prove it to people.
Yes.
With a concussion, there's really nothing to prove. So now all of a sudden they're going to get this label that mm-hmm. might be correct, might not. But I would think, boy, once you get that label, it's going to be hard to shake.
Yeah, and I probably would have reacted differently if I were the one that had a concussion in my first, second, third year versus my, you know, eighth, ninth, tenth year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, the older you get, the wiser you get, and the more you start thinking ahead. But, you know, when you're 21, 22 years old, 23 50. Years old.
50 seems like a long
boy,
way away.
You're not even thinking about getting a 50.
But, you know, the other side of it, listen, it's an issue that is going to be a main story and a storyline of the NFL for years to come. And I could see a day, maybe not very far in the future, where if you get a concussion, you're going to be forced to miss a game, which I think actually will cause more issues because guys will try to cheat the test and try to hide things even more because they don't want to miss the following week as well. But, I mean, there's so much unknown. And, John, you said it. Because we're not even sure of the long-term effects. I mean, they are trying to build some bridges and correlate some different long-term issues. But you also look at it. I mean, if concussions have a direct correlation to all the bad things you hear from dementia and early Alzheimer and brain damage and the list is long. I mean, wouldn't there be a higher, depression and suicide, a higher number of people being affected with those? Because the amount of people that play football, mm-hmm. both in high school, college, and professional, is large.
Sure.
It's huge. And, you know, so there's a lot of unknown. And as a player, if it was me playing, I would probably, you know, do you think about it? Maybe a little bit, but there's so much unknown about it, and there's no direct correlation at this point, and there's a lot of theories, and people are trying to do the science, and I think the NFL is doing a great job of trying to study it and be, you know, get on the front end mm-hmm. as much as they possibly can. But you don't know, so as a player, you're going to push the envelope.
Well,
I mean, that's your job. You're going to push it, and you're going to try to get back, and you're going to try to get on the field, because the only way you make a living doing this, and it's your identity as an individual, this is who you are, is if you're playing. And playing at a high level. So, I think guys, you know, you're going to try to hide it. You're not going to want to be labeled as that.
Well, it's almost reached the point, it's almost a hysteria, you know, and perhaps rightly so, and perhaps not, but it's like you guys just said, it would be interesting to see in 15, 20 years if the studies become better, if this is reasonable caution, if it's just going way over the top, if it's not enough, because we just don't know.
You know, the issue that the league is going to face is that there's going to be players out there, because I'll ask you, and you, with your hips, having complete health, would you do it all over again?
I'd do it tomorrow.
Exactly.
And there's not a question. I mean, knowing the risk of concussions and
would say the same thing.
Bad joints and shoulders not working and feeling much older and getting older quicker than I would have if not playing football, I would do it tomorrow without a doubt. I mean, there's not even a question in my mind. And I think most guys are like that. It's part of the reason I have I don't know if issues is the right word, but questions about all these concussions by all the lawsuits about from all these players and individuals that are suing the NFL.
Which will play a huge part.
Which is
a
huge part. And some of them, I'm not even sure, have any issues at all. In fact, I've heard some say, well, I don't have any issues, but I might down the road. It's like, wait a second. This is, I'm on the side, and I could be dead wrong. But I'm on the side that there's almost a hysteria, and the media's picked up on it, and it's become the story, and it's like this ill, this terrible phenomenon that is going to, you know, you get a concussion, you're going to die early, and you're going to, you know, be depressed, and you, the higher chance of suicide, and all these terrible things like this, almost, it feels at times like a scare tactic, and maybe it's true, but the science is not there to link them at this point. And we sure have, we get there pretty quick. And the stories jump to that conclusion immediately. Any tragedy that happens in the NFL with a pass player, what is the story in It goes immediately to concussions and head trauma.
You know, it's funny that you asked Tony, would you do it all over again? He said yes. And I think if you ask a guy, you know, when he gets into his 50s and his 60s, you know, on one particular injury you played the following week, would you still do it again? Some of them at Tony's age probably would have said, yep, I'd do it all again. Do it all again. You ask somebody under a similar situation that has an injury, and you ask them when they're 50 or 60 years old, their thought process may be a little bit different. And I relate it to a story of Ronnie Lott. You know, Ronnie Lott, obviously Super Bowl champion, San Francisco 49er. How many Super Bowls he won? Four?
Four.
With the 49ers? And I was fortunate enough to be able to play with Ronnie when he came over to the New York Jets. And the story about, one of the famous stories about Ronnie Lott was that he broke a finger in a championship game, I believe it was, or prior to the championship game. And so his options were to have surgery and get it fixed.
And Ronnie missed the game.
Told the doctor that because I would miss the game next week or games, that's not an option. And the doctor told him basically the only other option is to cut it off.
Cut the tip off.
Yeah, would cut the tip of his finger off. And I asked Ronnie, would he do it all again when he was later in his career? And he said, no.
No, I agree with that part. Now, if you ask me specifics, I mean, I played with it. I mean, part of the reason my career ended early is because of a shoulder injury. And I played through it for a year and a half with it going and out of joint and a choice I made because you didn't want to miss time. Now, if I could go do that over again, I probably would have got fixed earlier, hoping that it would lengthen my career. But I don't know this for sure, but talking to Ronnie, if you asked Ronnie Lott, would you play football again as a professional?
No doubt.
He would do it in a heartbeat. Now, are there certain things in my career, if I could go back and do it again and change and take care of my body different? Absolutely. But would I trade anything to play the – would I play the game again? Without a doubt, I said all the time, if there was a pill to take right now or something they could inject you with to go step on the field again, I'd do it tomorrow.
But here's the thing, though. You know, the average career length in the National Football League is about 4 years. And so the majority of the players that you're dealing with from a medical aspect are about what Ronnie Lott's mindset was at that time.
Right.
Cut the finger off. I'm playing this week. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what the NFL is dealing with when it comes to injuries and also concussion issues. So, this is definitely a very questionable future when it comes to that. And I know there's Vic Ketchman used to say, you know, they want to take the helmets off. This week, one of the former players came out and said they ought to just take the helmets off completely and just play the old way, which was with leather helmets and no face masks.
Yeah, Vic thought if you took the face mask off, people wouldn't lead with their heads so much, which would change the dynamic of the game to some degree. And, you know, back then...
You have a lot of broken noses.
Well, back then it didn't seem like it was a necessary thing, but all of a sudden now it's become so predominant. Let's grab a quick call before we take our first break of hour number two. Bill's on the South Side. Bill, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. Listen, you know the kind of blows that... MMA fighters take to the head every week. I mean, you don't see them suing the darn MMA over it. They know what they're getting into. It's their responsibility to either do it or not do it, and I think it's the same with the NFL. If I were a judge reviewing a lawsuit from a player or players, you know, because of you know, the head of so-called, you know, concussion injury, look, they offered themselves up to play. They're getting paid big money to do it. even the ones that are only there for 4 years, what are they making, $2 million? Look, they're... Well, hold on, Bill.
I was going to say, there's a little thing, Bill, because the one thing that's different, the lawsuits aren't just suing because they played the game and had concussions. The lawsuits specifically say they believe the NFL withheld knowledge of the dangers of the game and the dangers of concussions, and or that they should have known that it was dangerous and informed the players that what they were getting into. That's the crux of the lawsuit.
And let me add this. They don't make $2 million inside of 4 years, the majority of the players in the league. It ain't even close.
Okay. Well, listen, it's sort of like the tobacco lawsuits, you know, because they should have known and warned us about it. But here's the thing. I'm not a player, never have been, but I watch the game, enjoy the game, and I understand that people get their bell, you know, they'll get their bell rung every now and then. But, see, I don't really want to, that's part of the game. What I really bothers me is when they do it on purpose to people, like, for instance, when Blaine Gabbert was lying there prone on the ground, this 350-pounder flops down on him. He could have broken his spine. He should have been thrown out of the game. He should have been suspended for 3 games, and the money he would have made there should have gone to the NFL players' retirement program.
Bill, listen, and here's the it's a fine line when you're on the field. As a player, you are told to go out there and be violent and physical, and it's a tough game, and you're trying to impose your will on the guy you're playing against.
And
that is what you're rewarded for. And it's that split-second decisions that you have to make, and you're trying to finish guys, and you're trying to punish them physically. And sometimes guys, in split seconds, cross that line. But let me tell you something. It's a tightrope. Most guys, I'd say 99% of the guys, are not trying to purposely injure another guy. They're trying to play the game the right way, trying to be physical. But in the full speed, aggressive nature of the game, sometimes that line is crossed. And yes, there needs to be penalties. And yes, guys should be fined. But don't think for a second that very many guys are out there are trying to injure another player.
All right, Bill.
Okay, well, listen.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Guys,
we appreciate it. Joe,
all right.
Let's take a break.
What was wrong with your microphone there, Brian Sexton?
Hey, professional radio.
Yeah.
Pick up your Denny's Playmaker card at participating Denny's locations and learn how you can win a Mega Jaguars fan experience at the December 23rd home game. There is no purchase necessary. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna and Latitude 30. Rolls on Jaguars Radio. But when you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Steinmart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Steinmart, more fashion, less price.
All right, thanks very much, Joe. Jaguars this week, live from the WOKV News Studio. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Jeff Loggam, and Tony Buscelli. We've got 6 minutes here. Do you want to finish up this concussion conversation and then get into football? Or have you said everything you need to say about it right now?
I think we've said everything we need to say, and it's going to be interesting to watch as it goes forward.
And listen, concerning Cecil Shorts, he shouldn't play until he has no symptoms. And if the symptoms don't stop till Friday or Saturday, then you probably shouldn't play this week. And because he's a young player and not getting the reps on the field, probably not the best situation for him, is individually or the team.
No Maurice Jones-Drew. Highly doubtful. Very doubtful.
Very questionable.
Very questionable.
But, I mean, he's not
going to play. And if Cecil Shorts doesn't play, that Jets defense is pretty good, isn't it?
It'd be an interesting lineup. You would have Kevin Elliott, free agent rookie from Florida A&M. Justin Blackmon is your two wide receivers, so two rookie wide receivers. And then you may end up not having Mike Brewster, so you could have Eben Britton in there, who has struggled. And then at running back, you could see Montel Owens, as well as shared duties with Jordan Todman.
Yeah, I figured in August you'd probably have a game where you're going with a Henny, Blackmon, Elliott, Montel Owens lineup. Remember me calling that in June?
No.
So that's the issues offensively. The bigger issues might be defensively. The Bills just ran straight down our throats for over 200 yards. You got a team that's what they want to do. They're physical. They want to line up, and they want to punch you in the mouth.
But they're not nearly as good at it as the Bills.
Well, they're not as good, but...
But they're going to try it.
But they're going to. That's what they're going to do, and we better, you know...
Yeah.
Well, you said...
Jeff, you know more about defense than I do, but watching that tape, you know, our run fits aren't very good. We don't get off blocks, and we didn't tackle very well. Besides that, it was a great day.
Well, but Sean Green's not C.J. Spiller or Fred Jackson, but the offensive line...
They're better up front. Way better up front.
Would you agree about the run fits and getting off blocks? I mean, it just seemed like
the fits were not there.
Gaping holes.
Yeah, the fits were not there. I showed that on Monday night on Jaguars All Access to where you have one guy, thank you, get out of position, and then all of a sudden you have a big play. You know, so, it's kind of difficult to put your finger on what's happened to this defense from last year where they were the sixth-ranked defense overall and then this year where they're at the bottom. You know, I mean, they've had a couple injuries, but, I mean, it hasn't been widespread. I mean, they had more injuries last year.
They did.
You know, and...
Well, I think if you look at it, Jeff, I mean, Terrence isn't playing as well as he did last year.
No. Keep going.
I don't know if Tyson's playing as well as he did last year.
Probably about the same.
Mincy's not playing as well as he did last year.
Mm-hmm. You don't have Darryl.
C.J. Mosley is playing at a great level.
He's playing at a high level. You know, you don't
have two positions at linebacker.
No Darryl Smith.
No Darryl Smith hurts. Clint Sessions was there for a good portion of the year, and he was played very well against the run.
Corner positions have been a constant change this year. Aaron Ross, Rasheen Mathis, Kevin Rutland, Derek Cox, William Middleton. Am I missing anybody there?
No.
Mike Harris? Mike Harris played at corner at Green Bay, right?
He did.
Started at corner.
Started.
You know, so, I mean, that
and
position.
And Dwight Lowry was out for five weeks. Four or five games.
Whereas last year he wasn't. You know, so, boy, I just, you know, you put all that together and it's clear that you're not going to get the performance that you had last year. But, you know, stopping the run against the Buffalo Bills, I mean, I've always believed this, that you can always stop the run. You can.
The play that sticks out in my mind is, and I didn't even say Terrence Knighton's name on Mike Mularkey's radio show. I said a player, and he went right to that play. Remember that play where Terrence jumped the wrong gap? And
yeah, he radio broadcast.
Yeah, right up the middle for 15 yards.
I mean, he was playing defensive tackle. They tried to scoop him. He decided to go backside through and ran right up the A gap.
And it wasn't just him.
No, it wasn't. Because here's the thing,
I'm just using that as an example.
Just because one guy gets out of a run fit, you would hope guys are getting off blocks and running the ball. I mean, because, listen, the Jags aren't the only team where guys get out of run, have bad run fits someplace.
Because there's no rule that says if the guy goes in this gap and it's your gap, you're the only one that can make the play.
No, listen, there has to be. That's the thing that stands out. I know the run fits weren't good, and I get that, and that needs to be better. I don't see guys getting off blocks, running to the football, and making plays.
There's a term that you've been around football for years called playing above the X's and O's.
All the good teams do it.
That's it. You know, when one guy, you know, ends
making
up
plays,
losing his leverage and his fit, then other people all of a sudden are there rallying to make
you're beating
the play
people.
For
you,
we, because people are winning.
You have to win one-on-one matchups. It's the greatest team game ever, but the team is successful when individuals win the one-on-ones. And it used to drive me crazy as a player. And, Jeff, I'm sure you remember, Tom Coughlin, the night before the dang game on Saturday night, he'd go through the matchups, you know. You know, log him in against Zeus, you know, Vaselli against Bruce Smith, and every position. And my favorite was Brunell against whoever the safety was. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That was the silly part of it. But in the front seven and the wide receivers, it's about matchups and about you beating your guy. And when you do that, everything doesn't have to be perfect. The schemes don't have to be perfect. The coach doesn't have to get you in the perfect defense or the perfect play. It helps. When guys are winning, you overcome a lot.
All right, time for news here at the bottom of the hour. Joe, send us to break.
You got it, Brian. Get a great deal on a Ford F-150 during Truck Month at your local Southern Ford dealers. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna and Latitude 30 rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Better than ever. Season ticket owners get all the great premium benefits like teal deals and the Gate Gas Redemption Program, but it's now open to all Jaguars fans. Get great discounts, cash back, and register to win a trip to the Super Bowl. Visit Jaguars.com, click on the Jaguars Rewards logo, and start earning your rewards today.
All right, we want to thank Gene and the entire news team for letting us into their studio this evening. We should be at Latitude 30, and we will be again next week, but tonight there were some technical issues with the phone company, and so we came up here And Gene, it's an honor to share your chair. So here we go. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. In the last segment, so coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll go around the National Football League and look at some of the big games. What else is on your mind here? I mean, we've really let concussions and Tim Tebow dominate this entire show.
By the way, where were you this past weekend?
I was in did the Ravens-Steeler game Sunday.
Great game.
Oh, one of the best games I've seen all year.
Yeah, there was some fantastic football this past weekend.
And then I was at the Giants-Redskins game Monday
another
night.
Great game.
Another great game.
Jaguars-Bills.
Let me tell you what.
No. The Indianapolis-Detroit game.
I didn't see that. I mean, I was working. But RG3, he is, I mean, the state the obvious special. But
world-class speed.
He moves at a different speed than everybody else on the field.
But aren't you concerned about his future?
He only took one hit.
He took more than that, dude.
No, as far as running. He took one running hit.
Yeah, but he took other hits.
In the pocket. Just like any other quarterback would.
Yeah.
But he took one hit he did not need to take.
He is taking a beating.
You know, it's not as much as you think, Jeff. Early it was. As of late, because I've watched it, he does not get hit as much. Now, he took one hit. There's no reason he should. He should have run out of bounds or slid. And he got
hit right on the shoulder.
And he got tattooed. Other than that, it was like any other quarterback. Now what you worry about is how many times can he do that, because one hit can really give you a bad day. And so, but if he learns, and you can see the progression of him starting to get out of bounds and get down. He's so difficult to defend because he does that zone option read, and he's fast enough that if you lose any kind of contain, it's going to be a big positive play. And when he gets outside of the pocket, he's just very difficult to stop. I was talking to Perry Fuel before the game, and I said, what do you do? I mean, how do you – he says, you have to keep him in the pocket, and if he's going to scramble, make him scramble up the middle. Because if he gets outside, there's nobody on the field who's fast enough to keep up.
It's going to be interesting to see how the future plays out for him, because last year you saw Cam Newton have a better year than what RG3 is.
No, not numbers-wise, Jeff. Look at his numbers. 17 touchdowns, 4 picks, 104 quarterback rating.
Cam really tailed off after the first 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, he did. I mean, RG3...
So as far as touchdowns, passing, and rushing, didn't Cam Newton break all the records?
A lot of that was early. But if you look at the quarterback numbers and where
passer numbers, where
he rates among other quarterbacks, it's remarkable. I mean, his play-action quarterback rating is the highest in the NFL. The highest, number one. Now, the flip side is this, the scheme that they're running with him is very simple in the sense that...
This choice, that choice.
I mean, because he's... Now, when things break down, he is not just looking to run. He is looking down the field trying to make plays. And so what they ask him to do and the way they've set that offense up and what defenses can do against him is limited. Defenses don't want to blitz RG3 because they're afraid by blitzing him, they got to play man on the back half, meaning everyone's back is to the line of scrimmage. And if he gets away from one or two guys, it's off to the races. And so he gets blitzed very little. And it's so you have to play a more vanilla defense against him because you're so afraid of all the things he can do with his legs. And how long it can keep up, he can keep it up, who knows, but I'm sure going to enjoy it when I can because watching him play it's a lot of fun.
It was the first time I had seen him play, and the speed is what...
He's amazing. Yeah. Amazingly fast.
Being on field level, too.
And he's smooth.
He is.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's not just fast and...
And he's a very accurate passer. He's a good thrower of the ball.
He is very calm and great speed, and he is special. I mean, watching him in Luck this year...
Oh, it's great.
In the same weekend, they both.
And Russell Wilson.
Very good.
I mean, those three guys are impressive.
But you look at that, you know, the Redskins have been so irrelevant for so long. And being in D.C., there is a buzz about that team. And that place was packed and loud. And afterwards...
It's been 20 years since there was any sort of a real legitimate buzz.
It's a buzz. And afterwards, I mean, you know, there's 90,000 people at that stadium. And afterwards, in the concourses, they are chanting RG3. I mean, it's like you're at a European soccer match with fans chanting and all this kind of stuff.
Well, he led the highlights of last night's Washington Wizards game against Miami, and there he is chatting it up with LeBron James. I mean, it hasn't taken him any time at all to go to the very hierarchy of sports.
And the other game, one of the best, at least the most fun stories of watching was Charlie Batch probably starting his last football game ever, unless, you know, Ben gets hurt again. And coming into that game, you know, pop gun arm, can't make all the throws, can't win with them. And he went out there, and he played better than Joe Flacco, made some big-time throws. He missed a couple.
Well,
had a bad
all pick. Those statements were true except for the last one, you can't win with them.
Well, he
pop gun arm.
Jeff, he threw one. Went 55 yards down the field. I was shocked because going into the game, my whole opening was, you know, pop gun arm, can't throw. And I'm sitting there going, well, I might be wrong because he threw pretty good there. Now, he missed some guys, but it was a great football game.
That's turned into maybe the best rivalry in the NFL.
I mean, it is. They don't like each other. There was fights and pushing and shoving, and it was great.
But it's always well played, too. It's not
very well.
They're close, but it's not because it's slop.
How about this?
There were some big-time plays in that game.
7 of the last 8 times they've played each other have been decided by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
What else even comes close? I mean, for rivalries.
Well, it used to be the NFC East, all those, you know, Cowboys, Redskins, right. Giants, Cowboys. I mean,
the last couple of years, Packers-Bears has been really good.
And the Packers-Bears historically is a big game. But
the last couple of years, they've been playoff teams.
But so as of late, it's Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
But great. In the last one.
Yeah, and that one.
4 or 5 years, I mean, those, like Tony was saying, I mean, they have been intensely close.
And this year might be the best. You know, the Ravens going to Pittsburgh, and you think they're done. I mean, you think the Steelers are done after they lose, and the Steelers come back and win in Baltimore.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will go around the National Football League and look at some of the big games this week that we might be talking about next week. One more segment of Jaguars This Week Extra, presented by Aetna and live from WOKV's news studios. Joe.
Yes, Brian. Break. Thank you. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more information on joining the Refer a Fan program, just call the Jaguars ticket office 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Well, have you booked your holiday party yet? Well, just don't go to another restaurant. Give your event some latitude. Luxury bowling, play games, live entertainment, and delicious food. Just call Latitude 30's event specialist at 904-324-2455 and take your event to the next level. Brian.
All right, Joe, final segment here. We've got about 11 minutes to go through the National Football League, so plenty of time.
Quick and show tonight.
It feels like that. Of course, when you're scrambling to get here, that chews it up a little bit. Once again, thanks to Gene and the entire news crew and Ben and everybody in the control room for accommodating us this evening. Normally, it's a little easier on them. So Sunday, 1 o'clock, St. Louis at Buffalo.
St. Louis. Give Jeff Fisher some credit.
He's done a great job. Ended up beating, the 49ers?
Yep.
That's a real good football team that they beat and tied. Jeff Fisher's done a great job.
Dallas at Cincinnati.
Bengals. Dallas is no good, guys. Come on.
Seen him. I have not watched him this year.
I'd say Cincinnati.
I'm
going with Dallas.
You're crazy.
Jerry Jones has done a great job, and I'm believing. I'm buying.
Well, all of a sudden, you got an NFC East.
Wait, he's done a great job? Okay.
Jeff's all in.
He likes Jerry, though.
I like Jerry, too. I think he's great for the league. Love him.
Kansas City at Cleveland.
I'm
going to go Kansas City.
I was going to say, do you think Kansas City can sustain that?
It's hard to sustain that emotion.
Yeah, what a weekend for them.
Huge. Overwhelming.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very sad. Very, very sad that a three-month-old is going to grow up
with no parents.
Tennessee at Indianapolis.
Indianapolis is
on a roll.
You see, Tennessee, they lost David Stewart, their starting right tackle, to a broken leg early in the ball game, and then they lost Steve Hutchinson to a knee. They said they'd reevaluate today. He was put on injured reserve. So two starting offensive linemen to the injured reserve list in the last 3 days.
And that's why they came to the Jaguars and took Daniel Baldridge, a practice squad right tackle. You know, and good for Daniel. You know, opportunity.
Been working.
You know, I don't know if he's going to play or be active or whatever, but, you know, he's worked for a lot of years here, and he's gotten better every year, and this is a great opportunity for him.
Chicago at Minnesota, and Minnesota looks like they're going to be without Percy Harvin for some length of time.
Chicago on injured reserve.
Oh, he did go on the IR.
Went on
today.
IR okay. today. I kind of like Chicago.
I mean, I like Chicago.
They're without Brian Urlacher now for 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, but you know he's a great aware veteran player.
Lost a few steps.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of steps, and I don't know. He's going to hurt. It's going to hurt not having him just because he is the captain.
Not the end
of
the world,
defense.
Though. Huh? Not the end of the world.
No.
Yeah, but for this game, if they're without Harvin going against the Bears have to win. And they're at home.
They will.
Bears will win.
All right. I think clearly the MVP of the league is Adrian Peterson.
No, he's not.
Who else would be?
Peyton Manning. I don't know. He's pretty good.
Yeah, with the wins. But I mean, the,
not J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt is in the conversation.
He's the greatest player ever.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up.
I was leading you right there, Lockie.
I didn't bring it up. He did. Bill Belichick came out this week and was asked who would he vote for MVP.
And because he's playing the Texans this week, he said J.J. Watt.
He said J.J. Watt.
And when he plays the Broncos in the division playoffs, he'll say Peyton Manning.
Exactly. Come on, you just ruined my thunder, John.
Trust me, I already wasn't buying.
He is, though, an MVP candidate.
Who?
J.J. Watt.
No, he's not.
I think he's generally regarded as one of the three or four.
He's a defensive player of the year candidate, without a doubt.
He's an MVP candidate.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
It's just like the defensive players for Heisman. They're candidates. They're not going to win. But
great. That's a great story. You stick with that one.
You know, early in the year, I think maybe we thought that Philadelphia-Tampa Bay would be the Eagles pounding the Bucks.
Bucks are going to just...
completely different.
Just going to pound them. The Eagles are done.
Jim Washburn fired this week, week after Jason Babin sent packing. Washburn's gone.
It's one of the most bizarre things. Andy Reid is literally firing everybody as he goes down.
I mean, it's amazing. You fired the defensive coordinator, who was your offensive line coach that you promoted a couple years ago.
Right, that was the first.
And then you promote the defensive backs coach, which that particular position group was probably one of the reasons why they were playing so poorly on defense. They reportedly had major issues between their defensive line coach and the defensive coordinator that got fired. Defensive line coach blows up after Andy cuts Jason Babin.
He gets fired.
I mean,
it's great stuff.
I mean, talk
great
about
drama.
Good for talk radio in Philly.
I mean, that's like a soap opera.
They're lighting fires.
You know, you wish you had the cameras from HBO following the Eagles all year long. How good would that be?
Oh, no, that would be the best.
Hard Knocks? If you had Hard Knocks cameras following the Eagles this year.
Dream team. Mm. Baltimore's at Washington.
Washington.
Ooh.
I don't think Baltimore's very... I think Baltimore's very overrated.
I don't know. That's a
good
one.
Go look at the teams they've beaten. They beat the Patriots early. That was a good win.
Yeah, but you know why it's hard? It's hard to predict when Baltimore plays is because Flacco is so streaky.
It's not only that. Their defense is not very fast.
Mm-hmm. But if Flacco and Torrey Smith get on a roll... I mean, they can be – and against the Redskins now, they've got some issues with their defense.
One of the worst pass defenses in the NFL.
Any doubt that Flacco gets a mega contract from the Ravens?
Well, he has to.
They have to. They're married to him.
Yeah, I mean, even if he's not deserving of it, you can't – what are you going to do, go find another one?
Yeah, exactly. Look at how many guys haven't panned out. Atlanta's at Carolina.
Atlanta.
Smitty.
Smitty. Chargers at Steelers.
I've only been wrong once.
When?
Predicting – Smitty.
No, no, Smitty every week.
J.J. Watt.
They lost. They lost one game.
Oh, to the Saints. Right. Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
Here we go.
Professional.
Keep up, game. Ryan. Keep up.
You're wearing me out, Tony. San Diego's at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Miami's at San Francisco.
San Fran.
Yeah, they won't lose two in a row.
No, I don't see them losing two in a row, but the Miami Dolphins are getting better.
That's a tough trip for Miami going west.
Arizona at Seattle.
Arizona's awful.
I can't believe that Ken Whisenhunt is playing the rookie. And he played the rookie in New York last year when supposedly he's got another healthy option, a guy who's played more. I mean, that's a good enough reason to get fired. And I like Ken. Ken was a teammate of mine in New York. I like the guy.
Well, but, I thought he said that as soon as Cobb's healthy, he's going to play.
No, his other option, Skelton.
Moving along.
Have you seen the move? Have you seen them play with Skelton?
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to play in New York against the Jets.
All right, that's fine. That's not real.
A rookie six-round pick. No, yeah, absolutely. Bad decision.
So you're ready to move on?
I am ready.
Okay. Are you, John?
Sure, why not?
Okay, here we go then. New Orleans at the New York Giants.
I'm doing that game, so I probably shouldn't comment.
But you will.
The Giants have to win it. They only have a game lead now in the NFC East, coming off a game that they should have beat. Missed the field goal, lost by one.
They'll win it. The Saints are done.
I think the Saints, watching the Saints on tape already this week, getting ready for the game, Drew Brees is not very accurate this year, and he is forcing a lot of balls. I mean, he is missing
some throws.
He's not very accurate. He's missing some guys.
When I say missing, he's missing some reads.
Well, I didn't see that, at least in the Atlanta game, as much. He did a couple nakeds. He's trying to throw back across the bottom, just missing linebackers. So you're right there. But he's not Drew Brees right now. He does not look, and they're not good enough, and they don't have a lot of speed outside anymore, losing Devery Henderson. They don't have that guy who can really stretch the field. I think the Giants win.
Plus, we're in the final month of the season, and the Giants start doing their thing.
Did you guys watch their game last week?
Who?
The New Orleans Saints.
Yes.
And who are they playing?
The Atlanta
Falcons.
Against the Atlanta Falcons. They were pounding the Falcons on the ground.
Yeah.
And they stopped running the ball. I was sitting there yelling at the television set going, what are you doing? Run the ball. Yeah. It was working, and they started to throw it.
Which is going to be the Falcons' problem come playoff time.
Stop and run.
Yeah.
Yeah. After watching
Smitty
that.
Get him.
Smitty.
Smitty will fix it.
Detroit's at Green Bay in the Sunday night game.
Green Bay.
And then Monday night, the best Monday night game of the year.
Great game.
Houston at New England.
New England.
Great game.
You say New England unequivocally. You didn't even hesitate.
No hesitation. I think, these injuries are mounting on Houston's defense, and they haven't been great in the secondary.
They just
year.
Signed Stanford Rout.
Right. They haven't been great in the secondary, and I think Tom Brady will expose them. He gets the ball out quick. I think they'll be able to nullify J.J. Watt.
No way.
I know it'll be
way.
Tough.
No way.
Okay.
No way.
They won't be able to double him?
MVP candidate?
Oh, gosh. And so I think...
Has anyone neutralized him this year?
I think New England's a better team all around.
Okay.
So I'm picking J.J. Tom Brady, Watt. They're playing at home.
Has anybody neutralized J.J. Watt this year? I mean, just taking him out.
No.
Any team?
No. No.
Taking him out. I mean, Green Bay didn't. Yeah, he was pretty minimal in Green Bay.
Yeah, but
plus,
you don't
believe it or not,
out.
On this game particularly, New England, you don't usually say they've done it quietly. They've almost quietly gotten a 9-3. They've won a lot of games in a row after a fairly slow start. So they're starting to pick it up.
They hung a lot of points up there, too. Yeah. I mean, a lot of points. And we see those guys in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, but you know what, though? That Tony, you say they're a really good team.
I said, no, they're the best all-around team.
But if you take Tom Brady out of the equation, I mean, I don't want to say you're going to the route of Indianapolis last year, but it wouldn't be far.
I disagree. Last time they took Tom Brady out, they went 11-5.
I think this is a totally different team, though. This is a very different team. J.J. Watt wins Monday night. Write it down.
J.J. Watt. All right. So it's J.J. Watt versus Tom Brady.
I'd make a bet with you, but I hear you don't pay. Mr. Boselli.
And that will do it, Jeff, John, Tony. Thanks so much. Thanks again to Gene and the gang here at News Talk WOK for letting us in the door. And we'll say goodnight to everybody. Good night.